Harry saw at once that it was a diary, and the faded year on the cover told him it was 50 years old. He opened it eagerly. On the first page he could just make out the name T.M. Riddle in smudged ink. "Hang on," said Ron, who had approached cautiously and was looking over Harry's shoulder. "I know that name. T.M. Riddle got an award for special services to the school 50 years ago." "How on earth do you know that?" said Harry in amazement. "Because Filch made me polish his shield about 50 times in detention," said Ron resentfully. "That was the one I burped slugs all over. If you'd wiped slime off a name for an hour, you'd remember it too." Harry peeled the wet pages apart. They were completely blank. There wasn't the faintest trace of writing on any of them, not even Auntie Mabel's birthday or dentist 3:30. "He never wrote in it," said Harry, disappointed. "I wonder why someone wanted to flush it away," said Ron curiously. Harry turned to the back cover of the book and saw the printed name of a newsagent in Vauxhall Road, London. "He must have been Muggle-born," said Harry thoughtfully, "to have bought a diary from Vauxhall Road." "Well, it's not much use to you," said Ron. He dropped his voice. 50 points if you can get it through Myrtle's nose." Harry, however, pocketed it. Hermione left the hospital wing de-whiskered, tailless, and fur-free at the beginning of February. On her first evening back in Gryffindor Tower, Harry showed her T.M. Riddle's diary and told her the story of how they had found it. "Ooh, it might have hidden powers," said Hermione enthusiastically, taking the diary and looking at it closely. "If it has, it's hiding them very well," said Ron. "Maybe it's shy. I don't know why you don't chuck it, Harry."
"I wish I knew why someone did try to chuck it," said Harry. "I wouldn't mind knowing how Riddle got an award for special services to Hogwarts, either."
"Could have been anything," said Ron.
"Maybe he got 30 OWLs, or saved a teacher from the giant squid. Maybe he murdered Myrtle. That would have done everyone a favour."
But Harry could tell from the arrested look on Hermione's face that she was thinking what he was thinking.
"What?" said Ron, looking from one to the other.
"Well, the Chamber of Secrets was opened 50 years ago, wasn't it?" he said. "That's what Malfoy said."
"Yeah," said Ron slowly.
"And this diary is 50 years old," said Hermione, tapping it excitedly.
"So?"
"Oh, Ron, wake up!" snapped Hermione. "We know the person who opened the chamber last time was expelled 50 years ago. We know T.M. Riddle got an award for special services to the school 50 years ago. Well, what if Riddle got his special award for catching the heir of Slytherin? His diary would probably tell us everything, where the chamber is, and how to open it, and what sort of creature lives in it. The person who's behind the attacks this time wouldn't want that lying around, would they?"
"That's a brilliant theory, Hermione," said Ron. "With just one tiny little flaw. There's nothing written in his diary."
But Hermione was pulling her wand out of her bag.
"It might be invisible ink," she whispered.
She tapped the diary 3 times and said, "Apparecium!" Nothing happened. Undaunted, Hermione shoved her hand back into her bag and pulled out what appeared to be a bright red eraser.
"It's a revealer. I got it in Diagon Alley," she said.
She rubbed hard on January 1. Nothing happened.
"I'm telling you, there's nothing to find in there," said Ron. "Riddle just got a diary for Christmas and couldn't be bothered filling it in."
Harry couldn't explain, even to himself, why he didn't just throw Riddle's diary away. The fact was that even though he knew the diary was blank, he kept absent-mindedly picking it up and turning the pages, as though it was a story he wanted to finish. And while Harry was sure he had never heard the name T.M. Riddle before, it still seemed to mean something to him, almost as though Riddle was a friend he'd had when he was very small and half forgotten. But this was absurd. He'd never had friends before Hogwarts. Dudley had made sure of that. Nevertheless, Harry was determined to find out more about Riddle, So, next day at break, he headed for the trophy room to examine Riddle's special award, accompanied by an interested Hermione and a thoroughly unconvinced Ron, who told them he'd seen enough of the trophy room to last him a lifetime. Riddle's burnished gold shield was tucked away in a corner cabinet. It didn't carry details of why it had been given to him.
"Good thing, too, or it'd be even bigger, and I'd still be polishing it," said Ron.
However, they did find Riddle's name on an old medal for magical merit, and on a list of old head boys.
"He sounds like Percy," said Ron, wrinkling his nose in disgust. "Prefect, head boy, probably top of every class."
"You say that like it's a bad thing," said Hermione, in a slightly hurt voice. The sun had now begun to shine weakly on Hogwarts again. Inside the castle, the mood had grown more hopeful. There had been no more attacks since those on Justin and nearly headless Nick, and Madame Pomfrey was pleased to report that the mandrakes were becoming moody and secretive, meaning that they were fast leaving childhood.
"The moment their acne clears up, they'll be ready for repotting again," Harry heard her telling Filch kindly one afternoon, "and after that it won't be long until we're cutting them up and stewing them. You'll have Mrs. Norris back in no time."
Perhaps the heir of Slytherin had lost his or her nerve, thought Harry. It must be getting riskier and riskier to open the Chamber of Secrets with the school so alert and suspicious. Perhaps the monster, whatever it was even now settling itself down to hibernate for another 50 years. Ernie Macmillan of Hufflepuff didn't take this cheerful view. He was still convinced that Harry was the guilty one, that he had given himself away at the duelling club. Peeves wasn't helping matters. He kept popping up in the crowded corridors, singing, "Oh, Potter, you rotter!" now with a dance routine to match. Gilderoy Lockhart seemed to think he himself had made the attacks stop. Harry overheard him telling Professor McGonagall so while the Gryffindors were lining up for Transfiguration.
"I don't think there'll be any more trouble, Minerva," he said, tapping his nose knowingly and winking. "I think the chamber has been locked for good this time. The culprit must have known it was only a matter of time before I caught them. Rather sensible to stop now, before I came down hard on them. You know, what the school needs now is a morale booster. Wash away the memories of last term. I won't say any more just now, but I think I know just the thing."
He tapped his nose again and strode off.